I want to continue this series this morning, First Things First, and I want to, the subtitle of the message is called One Thing, so if you're taking notes there, write one thing down. And a quick question as we get started this morning that I want to ask you guys, and I want you to be honest, we're in church and so God's watching, so how many of you, if you're really truthful, would say, it's been a tough year so far, almost six months in. How many, raise your hands, let me see. I know who to pray for today, awesome, a lot of people. And the rest of you are either having a great year or you're lying, which is not good. And so stop. But it's been a tough year for some of you. And if that's you this morning, you raise your hand. I want to ask you to do me a favor. I want you to take out that connect card that Beth referenced earlier that's in your bulletin. And I want you to fill out that connect card and write down how we can pray for you. We have men and women throughout the week that pray for the members of our congregation and church. And as a staff, we want to pray for you as well. So you'll take a moment to write down, listen, it's been a tough year and I have a prayer request. Write it down, place it in the offering containers as you leave here this morning or drop it off at the Welcome Center, and we will commit to pray for you over the next couple of weeks and believe that God's going to move on your behalf. Amen? Amen. All right, so turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah 43 or scroll in your Bible app to the Isaiah 43, and let me encourage you today as I'm speaking to you that you would listen for the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and that what He speaks to you, you put into action. Find some application of how you can make this word that I'm going to share with you this morning active in your life. Talk it over with people in your family or with close friends, other believers that will encourage you. And then as you even talk it over, again, ask the Holy Spirit to minister to you, to reveal to you His truth. And where, and because here's what I know. I can give you information, and the Holy Spirit makes that revelation for you. And as He leads you and guides you into that truth, you become a more fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, which is what we all aspire to, right? So in the story that we're going to read this morning, God is actually speaking to the people of Israel, and He speaks a promise to them towards the future and what it's supposed to look like. So you're there in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, and let's read it starting in verse 18. It says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." He says, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Some of you need to hear that today as you're struggling almost 6 months into the year. Holy Spirit, I believe, is speaking directly to some of your spirit right now to let go of those things that have been holding you back. Do not dwell on those former things or the things further back in the past, because God says to you today, I'm doing a new thing. God says, you can't see a way, I'm going to make a way in that desert. I'm going to create streams in what you might be considered as wasteland right now. Perhaps you're facing a situation where you go, you know what? I don't know how in the world we're going to make it through this because it's bad, Eddie. It's hard. You don't understand how hard it is. I can't see a way. Listen to me. Where you can't see a way, God can. God is a way maker. Amen? He sees a way, and He's doing this new thing in your life. You only need to listen and perceive in the Spirit what God is doing. As I said a minute ago, the title for this message is One Thing, and my hope is that as Holy Spirit is speaking to you, He will show you that one thing that God wants from you, for you, and to do through you in this next season of your life. When you receive the revelation that the Spirit of God has given you, you're able to go from having just good intentions, which oftentimes, if we're honest, are us-centered, to God intentions, from good to God, good intentions to God intentions that are Christ-centered, that make a way where there seems to be no way. When God begins to do a new thing in your life, it will always begin, as Pastor Thomas has said, first things first, seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness. As we do that, everything that we want will be added to us, and then the major seasons that we're in, those difficulties that we were in, will shift in our lives, and we'll see streams in the wasteland. We'll see a way where there was no way. So let me ask you a couple of questions today. And I want you to think about the questions. If you need to, write them down and meditate on them through this week. In your prayer time, first question, in your prayer time as you're seeking God, what is the one thing that you desire of God? Think about that for a second. What is, if God was to come to you and say, listen, I will do one thing that you ask, how would that shift your prayer life as you seek God? One thing that you desire of God. King David, the son of Jesse, asked God for many things over the course of his life, and he was described as a man after God's own heart. And I've always wondered, why is that? Why was he considered a man after God's own heart? Well, this is maybe one of the reasons. In the book of Psalm, chapter 27, beginning in verse 4, this is King David writing this. He says, one thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. King David, for him, said, first things first, if I can have one thing, I want to be with God. I want his presence. I need his goodness. I need to know that he's always with me. If there's one thing I need in the good times, it's God. If there's one thing I need in the bad times, it's God. It's one thing I desire above all else, to be in the presence of God, to live there and to dwell there. What one thing do you desire of God? You may be in a place in your life where you say, you know what, there's someone that's close to me that's not a believer. And I would ask one thing of God to do is, God, would you use me in that person's life to reveal you and to love them into a relationship with you? So the driving force of your prayer for the rest of this year would be, God, love this person into a relationship with you through me. That's the one thing I ask. How many of you know somebody, maybe a friend or a family member that isn't saved, that you would love to see come to Jesus Christ? I think everybody probably knows somebody. Some of you, there may be some form of bondage that you've battled, an addiction perhaps, some stronghold where it's that one thing that keeps you going further with God. And you say, listen, I'm at the point where I know this is just not my resolve. It's God's will that I would be set free. So I would no longer keep this thing in my life that keeps me from fully pursuing a relationship with my Father. God, I believe, Holy Spirit, that you're going to set me free. If I could ask you one thing, help me to be free from this bondage and from this addictive behavior, that I might be walking the fullness of all that you have for me in this next season. That's the one thing. Maybe for you, it's your family. You're believing God to work and to move in your family in a way that he's never has worked before. You look at your marriage and you say, you know what? It's not where God wants it to be. My marriage is not where God wants it to be. And there's one thing that you desire from God, it would be that he would restore, that he would heal, that he would grow your marriage. Now let me stop here real quick, because I know sometimes when I say stuff like that, you're going to be tempted to say, Lord, the one thing that I desire is you just fix that person. If you would just fix my spouse, everything would be good. Don't pray that prayer. Just a hint. Especially don't pray it out loud next to your spouse. Instead, pray, God, change my heart. Heal me, Lord God. Make me the man, the husband, or the wife that I'm supposed to be. That's the prayer. Yeah, my wife said, yes, amen. For those of you not married yet, maybe you're seeing all your friends get married, and you're like, I love them, but I hate them. Don't hate, appreciate, all right? You're next, you're coming. Your desire is for that somebody, and that's a good thing. But in this season of your life, the one thing that maybe you need to be praying is, God, I need you to be enough. I need to be satisfied with you. I will delight myself in the Lord, and I know that he will give me the desires of my heart. I want you to ask yourself this when it comes to your spiritual life. What one thing do you desire from God? Next question that I want to ask you is, what is the one thing that you lack? Write that down if you're taking notes, and if you're not, I'm not judging you outwardly, inside though. What's the one thing that you lack? In the book of Mark chapter 10, it says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him, and said, God, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus responded, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Teacher, he declared, all of these things I've kept since I was a boy. I love this part. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack. Go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Check this out. God specifically showed this individual that one thing that he lacked, and he was unwilling to do that one thing that would have benefited him greatly, both spiritually and eternally. There are many of us here today that over a period of years, God has shown us that one thing that we need to do, that one thing that is lacking, yet we've not been obedient to do that. Have you ever heard anybody say this, or have you said it yourself? Man, God's been telling me to do that for years. People are like, my toes, ow. Why? Why is it that God has to repeatedly tell us to do something? We lack, in so many instances, obedience in our spiritual walk with God, where he says, Eddie, I need you to do that. You know, like, amen. Then we move a little further away. And God draws us back. Eddie, I need you to do this right here. Yes, Lord. Amen. My wife says to our kids, slow obedience is no obedience. Obey the first time. See, I believe with all my heart that if we will be obedient to the one thing that God shows us that we lack, it will set us on a course that God shows us that we can once again move, that he can move in and through our lives in ways that will bring great blessing, great change, and movement forward in the things of God. If you're willing and obedient, you will be good. You will eat the good of the land, is what the scriptures tell us. Maybe what you lack is disciplining yourself to spend time with God in his word. Perhaps it's in deciding this fall, you know what? I'm not just going to be an attender. I'm going to lead a life group. If I'm not going to a life group, I'm going to join a life group. God's been telling me, get plugged in, make friends, connect, serve, give of yourself, whatever it is that you decide, this time I'm going to do what God has told me to do. This is what I lack in my life no longer. Maybe it's beginning to tithe or to give offerings above the tithe. Uh-oh, he's getting personal now. You fought it and you fought it. And perhaps, just perhaps, that's the one thing. It's like God is saying, do you really believe that I will supply? Or do you not? Are you going to trust me or not? Still others, maybe it's personal accountability. You struggle with drifting away from God. Maybe even drifting into sin. You drift away from those who love you and encourage you and hang around with, as Pastor Thomas would say, the turkeys instead of the eagles. You need someone to speak into your life, to hold you accountable, yet you don't listen to anyone. First things first, ask yourself, what is that one thing that I lack? Now let me ask you this question. What one thing do you need to let go of? What do you continue to hold on to that you need to release to get where God wants you to be? In the book of Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, the scripture says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." I love that because it's not forward, it's heavenward. He's not just calling me forward, he's calling me upward, heavenward. Maybe it was the pain that Paul experienced as he was suffering for Jesus. But he made a decision that despite what had already happened, he was going to strain to move heavenward, to move forward in God. The Bible didn't really specify what he was letting go of, what he was trying to forget. But think about his background for a moment. Think about Paul before he was Paul and he was Saul. He was a guy that personally saw the stoning of Stephen, who was a first Christian martyr. He was the one that Jesus asked, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Maybe it was because he experienced that suffering that Jesus prophesied over him, being whipped multiple times, being shipwrecked multiple times. Perhaps it was getting stoned. For the youth, that's not recreationally. I'm just saying, he was physically, they threw rocks at him, okay? They thought he was going to die. Whatever it was, maybe he was saying, "I'm choosing to let go of my past mistakes, the past trials and the persecution that I've gone through, and I'm straining towards what God has for me." Here's a thought. If you're not moving forward to where God wants you to be, perhaps it's because you're holding on to something from your past. And it's time to let it go. See, God desires to reconcile your past to release you into your future. But if you do not let go of the past, he can't release you into that future because it will forfeit because of a bondage or an unhealed hurt or something like that. Listen, someone hurts you. I get it. Maybe there's some bitterness there. Maybe there's some unforgiveness, that unhealed hurt that needs to be healed. I understand. Go to the Lord. Go to others and receive the ministry that you need. Do what is necessary and then do this. Let it go. I heard a pastor say one time, unforgiveness is like this. It's like drinking poison and hoping the person that you have unforgiveness against dies. It doesn't hurt them. You're the one drinking the poison. We need to get healed and we need to let it go. And well, I don't know how to get healed. Call us. We'll help you. Fill out a connect card. We'll pray for you. Find somebody in your life group or in your circle of intimate friends that will minister to you, but get set free. Jesus said, "He whom the Son sets free is what?" He has a desire to set you free. I promise you, it's in the Word of God. He has a desire for you to be free. End of story. Yep. And we all need freedom all the time. All the time. Freedom is not a one-shot deal. We're continually walking out our salvation. And as we receive revelation of God's Word, we get more and more free. Amen? Yes? Okay. All right. Cool. See, God has a desire to do something new. But in the new, you can't live in the past. You've got to forget what is behind, and you've got to move heavenward. Man, I've seen it so many times in my years of counseling with people. They have a hard time letting go of the past. I remember one time I read a story of Yong Hee Cho, who has the biggest church in the world, and he went up to pray for a lady, and he said to the lady, he said, I perceive by the Spirit of God that there's unforgiveness in you towards your father. I couldn't remember father or mother, but a parent. And he said, God wants to set you free. You need to forgive. And if you forgive, then God will heal you. And the person said, no, I will not forgive. And walked away. And a very short time afterwards passed. And the thought of that really struck me. It's like, wow, that's amazing. That's crazy that that would happen to him, this powerful minister of the gospel and all that. And then years later, Beth and I were ministering to a person, and we were in a place where we couldn't seem to get freedom in an area of this person's life. And we said, you know what, let's take a break. Why don't you just go grab a drink of water? We're going to pray. And so Beth went to one corner of the room, and I went to another corner of the room. We began to pray. And immediately, at the same time, because it wasn't very long that we prayed, that God said, that person has unforgiveness against their father. And so they walked back into the room, and after they got their drink, and we sat down, and we said, okay, we feel like God's spoken to us. And she's like, oh, right, awesome. And we said, you need to forgive your father. And everything about her countenance changed. Her face just went just ashen, like just pale. And she started to weep, and she said, no. And we looked at her, and we said, oh, no, 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 no. That's not an option. You have to forgive. You know? Because we're like, we've had so much success today. You've walked through so much freedom, and now we feel like this is it. You forgive, and we're done. And she goes, you don't know what he did to me. I don't have to know. I don't want to know. God knows. And God gave us revelation that if you will forgive, he will heal you, and you will walk out of here free. She said, no. And I said, we can't go any further. I can only give you God's word. I'm not a magician. I can't take away this bondage. You have the authority and the power within you to release it and to let it go and to be set free. I can't make you as much as I want to right now. I want to choke you into forgiveness of your father. I didn't say that. I mean, I was thinking it, but I didn't say that. And she said, no, I refuse. And we said, okay. We prayed. We asked God to move on her heart, to minister to her. And she walked out. We were heartbroken. 3 months later, we got to see the scripture played out. We're seven times worse. You know what I'm talking about? Where we had our house swept in order and cleaned up. But the enemy came and got seven more of his friends that were worse than itself. And that lady, within 3 or 4 months, was worse off than she'd ever been in her life. Because she wouldn't let go. She wouldn't receive God's healing work because of a spirit of unforgiveness in her life. Listen, we've got to let it go. I'm not denying anybody the hurt that they've experienced, the pain that they feel. Listen, I get it. I understand it. I truly do. But God is bigger than that hurt. God is a God who heals today. He says in Scripture, he sent his word to heal them. So receive that healing and allow God to do a new thing. What's the one thing that you need to let go of? So that you can become all that God wants you to become. Finally here, what promise do you need as your anchor? What promise from God do you need to hold on to so that when the storms come, which according to scriptures will come, what promise do you need to anchor you so that you're continually standing on solid ground? Going back to King David again, when he was a young man, he was anointed by Samuel to be the next king over Israel. Samuel came up basically to Jesse and he says, are all your sons here? Do you have any others? Because he'd been talking to every one of them, and God is like, no, I rejected him, and I rejected him, and I rejected him. And he finally gets frustrated. He's like, man, do you have any other kids here? And he said, well, I have the youngest one. He's out there taking care of the sheep. And he says, Samuel says, go send and get him. We're not going to sit down until he comes in here. David comes up David comes up and Samuel looks at him, and he's a small, ruddy little guy, and I'm sure Samuel was going, really? And God says, listen, I don't look at what people look at. I look at the heart. This is the next king. Over the next years, after he was anointed and he was preparing for the time when he would become the king, it seemed like every time he took a step forward, something happened that caused him to go two steps backward. He'd have to face adversity on some form or fashion. Every time he had a victory, it seemed like there was Saul coming after him, who was a king at that time, ready to spear him to the wall. But look at David's anchor. Look what his promise was in Psalm 56. Starting in verse 9, it says, then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Many of you, maybe at one time you had a promise, or you have one even now. You believe that God has given you a word, showing you a vision of what your future is, and it's not coming about, and you're going, God, where are you? This is what exactly happened to David at times. When he was being chased by Saul and had to hide in a cave, God, where are you? Then he had remembered that promise, that anchor. God, I know that you're for me. And because that one promise is true in your life and in my life, we have an anchor. If you don't see it, hear it, or know any other thing, any other scripture, know this. God is for you. That promise is enough. Amen? Say this, God, no, I mean all of you, God is for me. Okay, listen, you leave today with a scripture. A scripture out of the book of Psalms to know that God is for you. And if he is for you, who can be against you? Okay, action steps. You've got to get God's word into your life. I promise you, if you will get into God's word, God's word will get into you. Amen? That's where the anchor comes from. It's his word that you're going to receive God's promises. It's from his word that you're going to understand God's will and purpose for your life. It will anchor you and it will sustain you, so that when the storms come, and again, they will come. In this world, you will have trouble. Take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. And the thing that helps you to overcome is the word of God. You can stand in the midst of any storm when you have it as an anchor. When the enemy is coming at you like a flood, understand God will raise a banner. And you can say, there is no weapon. There's weapons coming, but none of them will prosper against me. Amen? That's an anchor. You can say, God, I thank you that when I rise up, I'm blessed. When I lay down, I'm blessed. When I'm out in the field, I'm blessed. When I'm back at home, I'm blessed. That's my anchor. Well, I'm not feeling blessed right now, Eddie. Okay, I don't want to crush your feelings, but I don't care. I care. Don't be ruled by your feelings. Be ruled by the Word of God. Okay? Listen, you might not feel a certain way. Okay, I understand. Sometimes I don't feel like doing certain things, going certain places. But despite what I feel, I want to obey what God has told me in his word to do. So we have to get over our feelings and do the things that God has asked us to do. Amen? Let me give you just a few promises, so that if you're like, man, I have no idea where I'm going to find promises in God's word. Write these scriptures down. I'm going to read them to you real quickly. They're not going to be on the screen. Just write them down. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 in the Old Testament. God promises in his word he will never leave you or forsake you. He will be with you forever. That's a promise. So when you feel alone, God, thank you that you will never leave me or forsake me. You're with me always. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. God promises to give strength to the weary. He is your strength, the Word of God says. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When you're feeling sad, when you're feeling low, I understand what you're feeling, but the Word of God's promise is, the joy of the Lord is my strength. God, I need your strength right now. That's the promise of the Lord. Psalm 46:1, God promises to be an ever-present help in your time of need, in your time of trouble. You're in need, go to God. God, you're ever-present in my time of need. I need you right now. Be ever-present in my life. He promises to guide you and to give you direction. John chapter 10, verse 4. He says, the sheep recognize the voice of the good shepherd. It's the shepherd's role to lead the sheep. Allow God to lead you. Acts 3:19, God promises to forgive all of your sins if you will only repent. You've fallen? Hey, dust yourself off. Get back up. Don't condemn yourself. God will forgive you. Simply repent. That's a promise. Romans 5:21, for those of you who are not walking with God and you know it, God promises you eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. Just confess your sins. Repent of them. Turn away. Surrender your life to Jesus. He promises to forgive you and to give you eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 8:28, God promises to work all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Listen, if you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God, you are called to his purposes. That's a promise. Romans 8:37, God promises that you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. When you feel defeated, despite what you feel, the scriptures say that you are more than a conqueror. Romans 8:38, God promises that no thing will separate you from his love. No matter how far away you feel, nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:13, he promises that you will not be tempted beyond your ability. Temptations will come, but God will always give you a way out. Philippians 4:7, he promises to give you a peace that goes beyond your ability to understand. He says it surpasses your ability to understand it. God promises you to give you that peace. Philippians 4:19, God promises in his word to meet every need you have for his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. In James chapter 4, verse 7, God promises to give you power to defeat the enemy, to overcome the work of the evil one. You need simply to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That's a promise. Amen? Those are good promises, wouldn't you think? I didn't make those up. Those come from God's word. They're his word, and they're true as they were when they were written. What one thing do you desire from God? What one thing do you lack? Will you have the courage to obey the voice of God? What one thing do you need to let go of? It's time to get healed, to let it go, and to press heavenward. What promise do you need as your anchor? Pastor Thomas shared this scripture last week, and it's really an anchor scripture for the series, and we'll read it and we'll end here. First things first, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Forget the things of the past. Forget those former things. For our God, who is a good, good Father, is with you now, and he's doing a new thing. Stand up with me if you would. If you're here this morning and you would say, you know what, I've never surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. Or maybe I have, a relationship with him, I know him, but I'm not really serving him right now. I've drifted. I've let my prayer time go, my time with the Lord. I'm not seeking God. I'm not surrendering to what God has asked me to do. If that's you today, would you just place your hand up for me? I want to pray with you this morning. If there's anybody here today says, you know what, I need to come back to God this morning. Anybody in the room here? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Fantastic. Well, I want you to do me a favor. So in case anybody's feeling a little bit intimidated this morning, just pray this prayer with me. And this is a prayer, a simple prayer that you can pray to put yourself back in right relationship with God. Or for some of you, may you be here today to surrender for the first time. So as a family, as a church family, let's pray this prayer together. Father God, I admit that I need a Savior. And I come to you today to surrender my life, to repent of my sin, and to receive you as my Savior. Thank you, God, that through repentance, you forgive me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lead me and guide me into all truth so that I will never be the same. So that I will never be the same. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Now, if you would just do me one more favor, just bow your heads and close your eyes. And I asked earlier if anybody's had a tough year this year. Well, maybe you're in that tough year and maybe there is a place of hurt, of unforgiveness, of something that you just cannot seem to get free of. Would you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just raise your hand so I can know who I'm praying for? Thank you. All over this room. All over this room. Thank you. You can put those hands down now. I want to encourage you. Connect with us here at the church. Find somebody that you can confide in that is going to give you biblical truth, that is going to speak into your life the truth of God's word and help to be set free from that bondage, from that unforgiveness, from that bitterness, whatever it is. God's truth, God's word will set you free. But you have to, first and foremost, admit that there's a situation there, confess it before God, and receive the healing that only God can give through his word. Amen? Father God, I thank you so much for those people who are bold enough to raise their hands. And I pray, Lord God, that they would find that moment, find that time to surrender those things to you, to come clean with you, Lord God, to share them with friends or confidants or people that they can trust, and that you would send your word and that you would heal them in Jesus' name. That you would set them free from that bondage and they would walk in the newness of life that you promised, Lord God. I pray for each person here to find an anchor, Lord God, that as they go through the week, they would meditate on your word and you would give them a specific scripture in this season of their life that will be their anchor, that they walk in freedom in the midst of the storm, that they walk in peace in the midst of the trial. Fill them, Lord God, with your Holy Spirit. I want to invite the altar ministry team to come forward now, those that are here to minister. If you have any prayer need at all, whether it's because you wanted to surrender your life for the first time, or you want to confess, you know what, I've got a problem, I've got a bondage, or something I'm struggling with, we want you to come forward. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. We want to anoint you with oil. We want to intercede on your behalf in a prayer of agreement with you that God would begin to move to set you free. If you're a guest here, thank you so much for being a part of the service. We want to invite you to stop at the Welcome Center. We have a gift for you. We want to encourage you in the Lord. And I want you to go out there and celebrate Memorial Weekend. If you see a veteran, thank them for serving. If you have family members that have lost loved ones that have served, thank them for their service as well. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father God, thank you for the opportunity that we have to worship you, where you inhabit the praises of your people, to hear your word. I pray that it would be a good word, a good seed sown in fertile soil to bear fruit now in this season. We give you praise. We give you glory, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, that you have set us free. Thank you, God, you lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, God, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Love you.